Good day and welcome to the Technopolis Group Quarter One Interim Report conference call. For your information, today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Keith Silverring, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. If you'd like to see the presentation, you can view it at www.technopolis.fi/forinvestors/presentations. We've uploaded the presentation there so that you can see it in its entirety. You can follow it, although I'm not going to follow the presentation slide by slide. We're also recording this conference, and I'm also attempting to record with video with one web camera, and we're going to try to upload that as well after the conference is over. So let me go straight into it. I'd like to start with the overall statement that despite quite challenging market conditions, we put in an operational performance with which we're satisfied. And I can say that our whole staff has worked extremely hard to generate what we consider to be a satisfactory performance. I'd like to start by looking at our customer base. And now in this presentation, I'm assuming that those of you who've called are familiar with Technopolis. I'm not going to use time to repeat what our basic business idea is all about. So if you're not sure about that, you'll have to send me an email and I'll fill you in. So looking at our customer base and how they're behaving right now, you can say that you can clearly see signs during the first quarter of a lot of movement on the marketplace. Customers are, in some cases, asking to have their space shrunk. Some customers are terminating leases. But on the other hand, other customers are actually growing in spite of this situation and asking for more space. Many large clients are stable, especially the over 13% of our customer portfolio, which is innovation system-related public sector entities. But there's clearly signs of the economic downturn in there, and we've had to put a lot of work into keeping the occupancy rate at the high level that it remains. If we move on to our investment pipeline, you may recall that we had for 2009 the following projects. We had in Tampere two projects. One is Kotinkangas. That is now in Tampere we have the Yliopistorinne downtown Tampere project right next to the university. This will be ready in 2010. Its pre-let rate has increased now to 73.3%. Also in Tampere, the Hermia 15 project, which will be completed in 2009, has now been fully let. And in Jyväskylä, the Ohjelmakaari project has risen to a rate of 71%. And in Oulu, the Kotinkangas project will be, or is now at a rate of 66%. But in all these projects for 2009, you can say that on the whole, we've seen a strong upward increase in the amount of binding prelets, and the risk level in all of these projects are now quite low. So we're quite confident that the projects in the 2009 pipeline that will be completed in 2009 will meet their targets and meet our expectations. And because of the high rate of occupancy prelets for the Tampere downtown project in Yliopistorinne, it's already 73.3% now, and we have still a long way to go until the project is finished in 2010. That really means that our only significant risk in 2010 regarding new projects is the St. Petersburg Pulkovo project, which, as you know, is going up fast and as yet has no binding prelets, which is quite normal for the Russian market, but still it's a risk that cannot be ignored, and I don't want to underestimate this risk in any way. So having gone through these projects, I'd like to spend a few more minutes just discussing this Russian issue, because a lot of questions have been coming in about the Pulkovo project. What's the status of this project? So the project, which first phase is 24,000 square meters and is estimated to run about 50 million euros upon completion in costs, is projected to be completed in the spring of 2010. We have been putting a lot of effort into this project, both in terms of the construction and design activities as well as the marketing and sales activities. And I can say this, that the building is now going up very fast, and we're having very strong cooperation with the local authorities, who appreciate the fact that Technopolis is still going full steam with this project. We have 120, 130 construction workers working in two shifts every day on this project, which has now reached the beginning of the fifth floor. And we're now quite confident in the construction timetable and the also the timetable for the required permits. So there may also even be opportunities to generate some savings thanks to the decline in costs on the construction market in St. Petersburg, when we're practically the only game in town right now, along with the Stockman project. And the other benefit from this has been that the quality of the workers and the quality of the work right now is second to none. And it's totally on par with the quality that we're used to having in the Finnish market, thanks to the fact that most other projects have been stopped temporarily or permanently. So there are benefits from going forward with this type of project in the downturn. As to the market situation, we actually do have a very strong prospect portfolio of serious clients, and my analysis of the market situation, based both on research done by third parties as well as our own very intensive sales and marketing activity locally, is that now the market is in wait-and-see mode. There's a lot of customers who would very much like to change from second-class quality to first-class quality now that they realize that they can get first-class quality at a much lower price than they could 3 years ago, 2 years ago, or even a year ago. So now it's a question of timing, really. At which point will customers realize that the prices are bottoming out and beginning to rise? Everybody knows that on the Russian market, the price rise can happen quite rapidly, and they're going to want to close deals very soon when there's a feeling that the prices will rise. So it's really a question of at what point will the market turn. I don't know that. Nobody really knows that. But when it does turn, we will be very well positioned to rapidly close the deals that need to be closed. But I want everyone out there to understand that the timing is unknown. And the only thing clear is that when it does turn, then this project will be successful and profitable. But it requires patience and from our investors and from our staff and from our board. And we believe we have that patience, and we're quite confident that it's the right thing to do. So we're sticking by our guns on this project, and I hope that one day everyone will see that it was the correct strategy. Then moving on from the Russian case to our financials, and focusing on the key figures for the first quarter. We had an over 18% increase in sales revenues. We had a almost 13% increase in earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And our new figure that we're showing on direct results, which is really our cash flow result, was more than 50% higher than the corresponding period in 2008. It's a good measure of our improved operational efficiency, since it excludes the effects of rising yield requirements and the corresponding decline in fair market values. It also excludes all non-recurring items and nominal items related to derivative valuations and things like that. So this is really a purely operational result, and so I'm in this sense satisfied that we've been able to well in advance raise our productivity, and that has been crucial to being able to defend our market share and our occupancy rate, which is obviously of primary importance to us. Looking at the operating profit, which is the profit after the depreciation and valuation items, specifically fair market values, there you can see that we're in the red now because of this 14 million euro write-off related to these rising yield requirements. And I'd be tempted to, or many people would be tempted to say that's not that relevant because it's not cash flow. But I think the truth is that these IFRS-related changes do have an operational impact in the sense that they do reduce our equity ratio. And in reducing our equity ratio, they have an impact on our solvency and indirectly on our financing in this sense. So when I come back to this issue of covenants, you'll see that for us it's not significant, but in principle, it's something that shouldn't be ignored. But I want to emphasize that now we can really see the downside of this way of evaluating the performance of companies that don't trade real estate assets. So I think that this whole IFRS approach should be reviewed, but it's not for me to say. So the message really from this whole thing is that our operational performance was really, in our view, satisfactory, quite satisfactory, despite these very tough conditions and despite these rising market yields. If you look at the balance sheet, you can specifically see in these balance sheet figures the effect of this 14 million euro write-off. Although our total assets have increased anyway, almost 9% compared to the first quarter of 2008, even taking into consideration this 14 million euro write-off, and that's simply because a lot of new projects have come on stream with high occupancies. Same applies to the comparison of our fair market value, or the fair market value of our investment properties. These completed projects are the reason for the net increase. But our equity ratio, while it has, it's actually significantly higher than it was in the first quarter of 2008. That's because it was after that first quarter of 2008 that we successfully issued or performed a successful rights issue, which brought in 60 million euros of fresh equity, and that's the reason why the figure in the first quarter of 2009 is so much better than the first quarter of 2008, but it's anyway declined from 41.6% to just over 38% now, and that's entirely because of these changes in fair market values. And as I said earlier, so it's something that we're watching very carefully because in times of recession, it's important that you have even higher solvency than in ordinary times. However, if in the future we start seeing the interest rates flatten out and any evidence of inflation, so that may make it necessary to review this strategy. The 38% equity ratio target was our own internal target, and it was based on low inflation, low interest rate conditions. And if those conditions change, then we may need to have a second look at that target. And now we've opened up a little bit our... Interim report shows new information. We had this like-to-like increase of 3%. That's the first time we've reported on that, as it was the first time we reported on this direct result. And in addition, we've tried to open up for the benefit of analysts and investors our loan portfolio and the related obligations, restrictions, and covenants. And there you can see that in looking at our loans, so the breakdown of our loans, which total $362.5 million, shows quite clearly that we have a standard set of bank loans is overwhelmingly the largest part of our portfolio. And if you look at the covenant that everybody's been asking about, and now we've decided to just open it up, so you can see that covenants only make up about 56.6 million euros out of our entire loan portfolio. So it's really not a significant number at all. And even if you take all the bank guarantees and other obligations, we're on pretty safe ground. And then I want to emphasize, if you look at the covenant required minimum equity ratio breakdown, that the covenants we do have are overwhelmingly tied to just simply the equity ratio, which means that if we go below various equity ratio levels, we have to discuss the cost of the financing. And for all intents and purposes right now, the banks have already maxed out the margins to the extent that they can. So it really doesn't mean any increase in cost to us. There's only one 10.1 million euro loan that has a callback option, at least in theory, if the equity ratio goes below 38% in that particular loan's case, and that's also negotiable. So I think we are on very solid ground when it comes to these covenants and our loan portfolio. We have a very friendly repayment structure right now, and we have enough financing to cover everything that's in our operations and currently in our pipeline. So if you're looking for challenges, the challenge is in finding financing for future projects and moving forward. That's the issue that I at least will be focusing together with our CFO, Raya Taurian, and our chairman, Pertti Huuskonen, more and more attention on how we will be financing future projects. There have been clear signals from the market that if the projects are very strong, we can expect that both equity and debt financing is possible to arrange. Then if we focus for a moment on our occupancies, you can see that in the first quarter our occupancies actually held at a level of just over 95%, and I'm satisfied with that because there's been a fair amount of turbulence in the market, and our ability to hold our own in occupancies is, I think, quite good proof of concept, but it's not a promise that we'll be able to hold at that level for the rest of the year or in 2010. And if you then have a look at the way that these numbers are panning out in future, because I'm sure that's a thing that you're very interested in. What we can say is that we've seen enough evidence of instability that we believe there's now a clear trend that the competition is increasing and the demand is deteriorating across the board, although there are very significant regional differences. And there are also very significant differences within the sectors that our clients are operating in. There are some niches where companies, customer companies, are growing actually quite briskly, others where they're deteriorating or declining, asking us to renegotiate their agreements. The overall trend is that the churn, meaning the in and out flow of clients, has increased, particularly in markets where we have a smaller market share, like the capital area, and in markets where there's a lot of competition, like in places like St. Petersburg and Helsinki. So there's more turbulence, and there's more challenges being faced by our customers, and it means that we have to be very aggressive and very proactive in helping them to find ways of reducing their costs, in helping them, if necessary, reduce their space, but at the same time holding on to these customers and hopefully aiming at extending their agreements wherever possible in exchange for flexibility, which is really part of the service that we're providing them with. So we see a significant risk that the occupancy could decline during 2009 and 2010. And we will continue, therefore, to work very hard to take whatever steps are necessary to protect that occupancy as well as the company's profitability. If the occupancy does decline as a result of the market conditions, it is, of course, obvious that this would have some impact on our sales figures and our operational earnings. But I want to emphasize that we are standing by our guidance, and we still are committed strongly to this 5-8% growth in sales and earnings that we forecasted originally for this year. But I don't see a lot of optimism beyond that right now. So we're on a very cautious line, and that's quite deliberate. On one more personal note, I'd like to say that that my personal analysis of market situation is that contrary to my first analysis before the recession began, I was quite convinced that we were looking at a long, drawn-out structural reorganization of the whole world economy that could mean an extremely long recession. And now we've seen very strong volatility in the whole global economy. However, I've seen some signs, soft signs, of pointing at a possible recovery, and I'm in no way suggesting that there will be one, but there's some signs that this might not end up being as elongated as we may have originally feared. However, we're planning our operations on the assumption of the worst-case scenario. So even if we start seeing signs of recovery, we're going to stay within a very conservative guidance. We don't want to deceive ourselves or our owners, investors, or analysts. It's more or less a clear situation of, hope for the best and prepare for the worst, and that's what we're doing. And we're using every ounce of our energy and power to do everything that we can to protect the company's occupancy and its operational integrity and profitability.
And that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.